Well, all right. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's a little awkward to say good morning after I've already spoken to all of you, but good morning, everybody. Good to see you that are in the building. Those of you online, thanks for being here. I want to say this to those of you that are online. If you chose to stay home because of the rain, we totally understand. Like, it is pouring. It poured all weekend last weekend. It's pouring today like crazy. For those of you, though, that came actually to the building, right, and you, like, walked in here and you got wet and you have the umbrellas, I'm pretty sure the Bible says you get extra credit for that. So way to go. Way to go. Just want you to know that. I'm looking for the verse actively now, but I'm pretty sure you get extra credit. There's probably some extra treasure in heaven just for you, so thanks for braving the conditions. I want to say this, though, if you'll allow me. I just want to pause for a moment. I really want to just give a special sort of a thank you and a gratitude to those that serve on our setup and takedown and parking teams. These are the days. Woo! Like, they earn their merit, and so when they're driving you in the golf cart back to your car, would you give them special thanks today? When you see them out there holding umbrellas and just trying to serve you to keep you as dry as possible, just tell them how awesome they are. I always say, like, those are the ones, I feel like the players on our team, it's like they're like the special forces of like the serve team. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if it's raining, they're serving. They're like the trash guys who I have the utmost respect for. I really do. They're like heroes to me. Because no matter what, like, I don't have time for this, but I bring my trash can to the end of my driveway. It doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, 108 degrees. They take that stinky, gnarly mess away from my house. And imagine if they didn't. Just imagine if they didn't, the trouble that I would be in at home, right? And so I see that parking team and those setup and takedown teams just being that way because, man, when it's mid-August and the sun is just beating down on them and they're smiling and serving. So thank you guys and ladies that serve on that team. Would you just give it up for them especially right now? Thank you so much. It means a lot. It really does. And so again, when you see them today, just give them a little extra. Okay, I borrowed some of my time from earlier, so I'm going to move even more efficiently than I was planning to already today. But we're in part number two of a series we're calling Try God. And not like try him, like try him out, like the triune being of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is what we have been talking about since last week and we'll continue to talk about through next week. And so if you missed last week, I would really encourage you to go back and watch. We talk about God the Father, like the Father God, and what does that look like to us and who is he? And the idea behind this whole series is for those of us that might be young in our faith, like I'm trying to figure this out. Like I just, like all the people we just celebrated today and last week, who made public professions of their faith in baptism, they're starting something right now. Like, I want to live this life of faith, and I just feel like it can be daunting sometimes. Like, how do I do it, and how do I do it right? Does this make sense? And so what I'm banking on, here's my bet, that if you have an understanding, at least even if it's like at a novice level of who God is, then you can grow. And so if we have God who is called our Father, we talked about that last week, even spoke into it for those of you that struggle with who a father is or the image of a father because of perhaps your earthly father, and we really spoke into that, like, don't allow your earthly father to define God, redefine fatherhood with God. And so today what we want to dig into is the sons. We've talked about the Father. Today we want to talk about the Son. And so let me get right to it. If you're a note taker, they're in the seat backs ahead of you or under the seat if you're on the front row and then available digitally online. But Matthew 16, this is kind of the foundation verse. I love to start with something like this. The Bible says this, that then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, there's some stuff you need to do, right? And three things that Jesus identifies. He says that you must give up your own way. And that's really what we talked about last week in the Father. Today we're going to focus on taking up your cross. Sound fun? Aren't you glad you took up your cross and went through the rain and checked your kids in and got into church? Like, you've already done it this morning. And he said, and then you're going to follow me. So you're going to give up your own way. You're going to take up your cross. And you're going to follow me. And what we've been able to do is identify the triune God in these things. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So today, here's what we're talking about. The big idea is the Son. We're going to talk about the Son. God the Father, God the Son in Jesus, and then God the Holy Spirit we're going to talk about next week. And here's what I did as I was preparing this message. I got into the Bible and I began to read in the book of Colossians. And listen to me if you're young in your faith. Like if you're trying to like figure this thing out, go home and get into the book of Colossians. It's a tiny little book in the far back of your Bible in the New Testament. And I had these moments in preparation for this message where it's like, I've read this before, and this is what I love about the Bible. It's like, I've read this before, but I felt like I read it for the first time. You ever have that moment? Like, it could be the verse that you've seen for 40 years of your life, but something is new in it for you this time, and it's like, oh, I've never seen this. This is what happened to me, and I want to go there in Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says this, that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And I just absolutely love the fact that the Bible is saying to us, like, hey, if you want to know what God looks like, you have to see Jesus. I'm a preacher here. I said it last week. I'm going to say it this week. I'll say it next week. I'm going to preach this forever, all right? That there is only one way to God, and his name is Jesus. Christianity does in fact stand alone, and I'm not trying to be combative, I'm trying to be clear. I'm not trying to argue with you, I'm trying to open your eyes to see that the only way that I can know God is to know Jesus. And the Bible defines that he is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. And he made things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Here's what I love so much about Colossians is the immense detailed description of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, and he's been here always, and everything was created through him, and it was created for him. And like all this incredible detailed description of who Jesus is. But I want to move on. We're going to continue to read through Colossians this morning. The Bible says this. There it is. That's my fault because I always proof this. Anyway, Colossians chapter 1, Christ is also, he's also the head of the church. It's like us. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. You ever seen a body function without a head? I have. It was a chicken. Right? It's chaos without the head. All right, Jesus is the head, all right? So Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. When we celebrated baptism last week, that's the picture. Risen to a new creation, buried and dead to the old way of living, the old way of thinking, the former me, raised new again in Christ Jesus. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, right? And this is exactly what it's describing. So he, and this is where I want us to like really key in right here. He being Jesus is first in everything. In everything. Jesus was the first to carry a cross. Jesus was the first to die in the flesh. Jesus was the first to experience new life in God. Jesus is the first in everything. It's why he's so easy to follow, because he shows us how to do it. It's not like that parent, you know what I mean, that used to parent poorly, and they would be like, hey, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work, mom and dad. That does not work. But Jesus is the kind of leader that says, you can do as I do. Just follow, just walk with me, and I'll show you how to get it done. He's the first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, this is so important, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the what? The cross. He said, if you're going to be my follower, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, I'm going to ask you to do what I do. And what I do isn't always easy. And what I do is oftentimes sacrificial. But I'm asking you to follow me and be my disciple. Take up your cross. All right, moving on. Again, I'm just trying to be efficient right now, okay? Now, check it out. This is my favorite part. This includes you. hang on, let me get it, right? God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. It's the very next sentence. This includes you. So those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we've been reconciled back to God, and he is at peace with us. Amen. Not because we have it all together, not because we're perfect, not because we don't say dirty words anymore, or we don't lose our temper in traffic, like that. We're not perfect. We don't have it all pulled together, but because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, we've been reconciled back to God, and he's at peace with us. So he's not angry at you. He's not trying to get you. This is not our Father. Jesus has bridged a gap between our imperfection, our sin, our flaw, our yesterday, our mess, and perfect standing before the Father. We're included. We're included. Amen. It's such good news. Like, this is why the gospel is so good to hear. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And here's where it gets fun. You ready? As a result, I want you to really, really pay attention. I hope you're a note taker. Write some things down. Type it as fast as you can in your phone. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. I want you to pay attention to this word, as you stand before him without a single fault. Hallelujah. I don't feel that way. When I look in the mirror, honestly, if you gave me a pen and a notepad, it better have a lot of pages on the points of improvement, truly. I am naturally selfish. I have to work out of selfishness. I can be completely self-indulgent. Sometimes I have a shorter temper. There are times that I'm lazy. There are things in my life that I believe are sinful and carnal that I want to chisel away, but like they're still ever present, like somehow connected to my life. There are things that I want to get past that I still battle with. There are temptations that still draw me, even to the point where I'm like, I don't even understand after all this time with Jesus how this is still pulling against like that. But I love the power and the truth of God's word, that's not how God sees me, because he sees me through the blood of Jesus on that cross. So what it doesn't do is give me an excuse to just live any way that I want. What it does give me to do is the right to stand holy and blameless and without a single fault before the Father. But the very next sentence, we can't ignore it, right? The very next sentence, but you must continue to believe in this truth and what? And stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. And this is what we just talked about with Jesus. And so hold that in your mind, because we stand holy and blameless before our Heavenly Father, but we at the same time have to stand firmly in this faith, which is the fine line but giant difference between growing in God and just staying in my self-righteousness or my sinfulness. Talked about that last week. That like now, well, because Jesus forgives me and I'm pure before him, now I can just live any old way that I want. That's not true, because the Bible says, no, you got to stand firm. There's like a tax coming. You actually have to stand firm. But even in the point that we feel like we've been complete failures, or maybe we were a failure, maybe we blew it, maybe we actually followed through on a temptation or had a bad moment or whatever it is, when we go before the Father, we have the confidence to stand before him as holy and blameless, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. So this is why I can't earn salvation, because I'm never good enough. It's not even, like on my best day, it's so far short. But because of Christ, this is why the gospel's good. This is why. Because he takes me where I could never go on my own. So again, just for time, I'm trying to honor, we have another service coming, right? I want to get to the word and get down into it. That Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Like, hey, come on, get ready and stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You could put sin in parentheses right there. Like, don't get caught back up in it. This is where follower of Jesus, like, sometimes we got to put the cross on our shoulder and carry it. This is where sometimes it's like, look, I don't want to die to this, but I need to die to this. Because, I don't know about you, like, the Bible even says it, that sin is fun. That's the words from the Bible, for a season. I heard one preacher say, I listen to a lot of preachers, and I heard one preacher say just about 2 weeks ago, he was talking about how his former preacher was like, look, sin ain't fun, and it ain't no good. And he was like, well, I don't think you're doing it right. Because, like, like, I enjoyed it, you know? And there are just some times and some things that require us to put a cross on our back, even to overcome, maybe it's a bad habit or a bad tendency. There are other times where a cross might look like serving someone when you don't really have the energy for it. That might be the cross. Sometimes the cross might be carrying a burden through a season of life that you just can't make sense of and you don't understand, and you thought the job was secure, but then all of a sudden they released you, or you can't believe at the loss of the loved one, and like, now what am I supposed to do? Maybe you were totally betrayed in a relationship, and sometimes as followers of Jesus, we just have to put the cross on, carry it. And I know this lands heavy and doesn't sound super friendly, but I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, I'm not trying to like puff you up, make you feel good. I'm just trying to preach the Bible. And the Bible tells followers of Jesus, like Jesus said it himself, if you're going to be my follower, you have to take up your cross to do it. And the Bible just reiterates it over and over. We'll just a couple more and then we'll transition. Ephesians 6:11, this is the Apostle Paul. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to what? To stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's spiritual, everybody. It is spiritual. We're fighting against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And I'm not trying to like freak anybody out. Again, I'm just trying to open our eyes. Like, let's see it for what it is. Like, one of my favorite pastors in the world, he always says this, it's more spiritual than you think. It's spiritual, everybody. And there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm, and the enemy is trying to destroy our lives. So we have to stand for this faith. And sometimes that looks painful, like carrying a cross. All right, last one, I think, and then we'll move on. Yeah, I have been crucified with Christ. So Paul's really taking it. Like I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love what he's doing here. He's painting this picture of like, I stand in Jesus confidently, but I stand for my faith like boldly. And I just feel like this scripture, like it's not me, it is Jesus. So in closing, all right, let's get to it quick. I want you to write some things down. Jesus gives us the ability to do two things, everybody. This is what the Son gives us the ability to do. Number one, stand pure. So I actually can go before the Father and be pure. So when I've wrecked it, when I've gone wrong, when I've blown it, when I've allowed whatever it is, whatever. You decide. You just make it apply to your life. And you feel ashamed, embarrassed, defeated, remorseful, all those things. Can I tell you something? Because of Jesus being first and dying on that cross, and because of his blood that was shed there, you and I have the ability to stand before God pure. Which, if you ask me, is as complicated a thing to understand as the three in one, God in three persons. Like, I don't, that like, all right, same preacher that I was listening to and just told you about said it just like this. He said, if you think, I'm gonna just quote him, all right? This is not Josh Hersey. If you think you can fit the triune God in your peanut brain, you're too stupid to talk to. That's what he said. And I said, I don't say stuff like that. And then I just did. I apologize. Here's my point. My mind can't understand it, but I'm in Christ, my heart cannot deny it. Okay, and so somehow I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this, but somehow my heart knows it to be true. Because every time I stand before God in that place of shame, embarrassment, whatever, you pick your adjective, I have to stand pure before God by faith. Like, God, I can only come to you because the Bible tells me that Jesus gave me the right to do this. And so 1 John 1:9, that's a little bonus if you want to write that down. 1 John 1:9, that's like my personal verse. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I tell you right now, I'll go to God and say, I'm just 1 John in it right now. Like, that's my way of saying, like, I'm a little nervous, but I'm coming to you, and by faith in your word, I'm asking you to pardon my sin again. So he was the first to conquer the enemy, and I have the right to and the ability to because Jesus gave that to me. I hope I'm like getting it to you somehow. All right, here's where we're going to close right here. Here's where we're going to close. There's four things I want us to look at that the son's heart is to do. I did this last week with the father, and the son's heart is to do some things. The number one is to teach people. And if we're going to follow Jesus, I believe that he's asking us, remember they called him rabbi, teacher? And I believe that if we're going to follow Jesus, he's asking us to do that. And so let me put it into maybe a phrase, because some of you guys are like, teach people, like, ew, that scares me. Let me just put it into perhaps a phraseology that you could receive, and that is influence. That's the word today, right? Everybody wants to be an influencer. Well, guess what, follower of Jesus? That's who you are, an influencer. I don't have to know the Bible perfectly to influence people. I don't have to know the answers to influence people. I mean, I could be the kind of guy that just simply is like, I don't know, but like, he's working on me. He's just doing something good in my own heart and in my own life. I wish I had more time. I would totally digress off my notes and see if I could find it in my Bible real fast. The time I don't have. Let's just look here. It's going to be really embarrassing if I don't find what I'm looking for. Worship. Yeah. All right, John chapter 1. Just a little bonus material for you right here. Let's see. All right, so I'm going to read about verse 40. And Simon, Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Watch this, verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother. He influenced. The first thing he did is he went and he found his brother. And then verse 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Okay? And his brother's like, Nazareth, wasn't he born in Nazareth? Like, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? And I just love it. That's the question. Can anything good come from there? And I love it. He just simply said, come and see for yourself. Just come find out. I don't have to know all the answers to influence people for Jesus. I can just tell them what Jesus is doing in me. The second thing is that he's about gathering people. I'm preaching ahead of myself. You see that? First thing he did, got to get my brother. I've been so impacted, I got to tell somebody else. Jesus picked his 12 disciples. Jesus fed 5,000. He was a gatherer of people. And he would just teach the truth, and he was influencing people, and this is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do. He also will sacrifice for people. Remember that cross thing he did? And can I just tell you something? He says, if you're going to be my follower, you're going to have to take up your cross to do it. meaning it's not always going to be awesome and fun, and you might cry sometimes, and life might disappoint you a lot, and you may not fully understand, but if you're going to be my follower, you're going to have to take up your cross to do it. And then finally, and we'll pray right here, it's to save people. It's to save people. Like, I'm just trying to get you to know the truth is the heart of Jesus. Well, guess what the followers of Jesus should do? Try to get people to know the truth. Amen. Amen. All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young Christian, I hope this is helping you. And I know it's big and it's an overwhelming topic to try to serve you in just a few minutes in a sermon on a Sunday. But I just want to encourage you to lean in to discovering more about the Father. Lean in to discovering more about Jesus, the Son. Because the more you'll understand him, the closer that you will get to him, the more free you will become. He makes promises in his word, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So there is an effort that has to be taken by us as followers of Jesus to get ourselves nearer to the heart of God. And so, young Christian, I know that it's harder for you, perhaps because you just don't know what it looks like, but I'm just encouraging you, keep going toward the heart of God. Listen to me very, very carefully. If church on a Sunday is the place in which you connect best to God, make it the highest priority of your week. Get here and learn from your brothers and from your sisters and from the presence of the Holy Spirit, who does in fact dwell in you and will carry you closer and closer and closer to the heart of God, because the Bible tells us that the Spirit only says what the Father is speaking. So he will never mislead you. Now, perhaps there are people listening to this message, whether you're in the building, watching, or listening online. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. But today, there's something drawing you in. And you're like, yeah, like, I need this. I understand. I see the gospel. And I want to say yes to Jesus. What I want to do is invite you today to do one thing, to simply say a prayer with me. God's already done something in your heart, and I just want to invite you to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand or walk to the front or any of those things. This is your moment with your God through the power of Jesus. You'll know God. So what I'm going to do is ask you to repeat a prayer. And church family, you know how we do it. Everybody in the building, I always ask us all to say it, because for those that may be saying it for the first time, I really want you to be able to say it confidently. Here's our prayer. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's give God praise for those that made that decision. I love you guys.